Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Obedience is blessed. And like that verse we read in the beginning, he that honoreth me will I honor, and he that despiseth me shall be lightly esteemed. This world shows their disdain for the word of God and for God in their absolute indifference toward him. And not necessarily only indifference, but it's come now to the place to their rebellion against him, and teaching something other than what he teaches and what he says. Now, we obey the commandment of our God in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in loving one another. Now, when his word is planted in our heart, when he writes his law on our heart, that becomes the law of our heart and the bent of our lives. We do what we want to do, or we do what we do because we want to. That's the way we want to walk. We want to walk in obedience to our Lord. We want to sin not. And it grieves us when we see that we're still sinners in our persons and nature, the old nature. But that's not what we want to be. That's what we desire to avoid. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now, ye shall not add to nor take away from.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you folks have heard that over and over again in time, and you've heard men add to and take away from the word of the Lord all your life, as you said, in what's supposed to be the house of the Lord. They'll add their free will to it, and they'll take away such words as are the ground and center of our faith, such words as election, predestination, effectual call, final perseverance of the saints, and so on. Those foundation doctrines that are fundamental to our faith, they will not have. They simply will not have. I was in the service one time with one fellow, and I mentioned the effectual call, and this fellow, he popped up and he said, "We don't believe in the effectual call in this church." And I thought, "Well, what do you believe here in this church? Do you believe anything at all?" I began to think they didn't. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command. There's nothing to be added to the word of the Lord. It's perfect. It's like its author. The word of the Lord in its original giving by the mouth of the Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the words of our Lord in the New Testament, all of those words in their original form were absolutely God-breathed. The translators in some places have added to and taken away from, but lucky for us, or not lucky, but by the providence of God, those places are marked so that we can tell that they are added to or taken from, and the translators did try in most cases to clarify what might have not been so clear, or to make known unto us things that would you would have to know in those original languages. But the Lord, who initially gave the scriptures, is able to, by His providence, watch over and preserve the content so that we have all that we need to know in our authorized version, the King James Version, of what the Bible teaches us, what the Word of God is. Neither shall you manage aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord God destroyed them from among you. Now, the Lord destroyed about 24,000 men of the children of Israel because of their idolatry, who were pulled into idolatry by lewd women and made to serve other gods. And so the Lord smote His people because of their abandoning of Him and going over to idolatry. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, unto this day. So there is our principle that we talked about this morning. He that honoreth me will I honor. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded you, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for the thing for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of your life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now our generation is miserably failing in teaching our young people. They're busy with iPad or television or whatsoever else is available in the home, and the Bible is not even an ornament anymore. It used to be at least an ornament on the coffee table in most homes, but now it's up on a shelf way in the back somewhere, and nobody ever even sees it. And there, I don't know of any families that do teach their children the Word of the Lord. And Sunday school in most churches is just a pitiful thing. Once a year, they put on a camel uniform and do what they call the nativity scene, and so on, and it's just ridiculous. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Teach thy sons and thy sons' sons. But look what a great honor and dignity and what a great blessing and mercy was given to Israel, that God actually spoke to them. and gave them his laws. What a wonderful thing that is, that God spoke to them and gave them those laws and those statutes that they should follow. He never did that for any other nation. He said in Amos, he said, "Thee and thee only have I known of all the nations that are upon the earth." But how much more has he done for us? He's put his word in our heart. He speaks to us out of the scripture. When we read the scriptures, it's God speaking to us. But then he writes his law and his words in our heart. And he causes us to hear his word preached. And what a wonderful blessing that is for us. And how thankful we ought to be, and how we ought to reverence him. And I know that most of us do, how we ought to reverence him in everything that we do to honor our God. "And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven." Can you imagine that? How high those flames must have went. "To the midst of heaven, with darkness and with clouds and with thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, and you saw no similitude, only you heard a voice." And he emphasizes that several more times down through here, that they saw no similitude. God didn't give them any excuse to make them another graven image. They heard the voice. They heard the word of the Lord. That's what we have, is we hear the word of the Lord. And we do not worship God by images of angels stuff all over our houses and crosses hung everywhere and all such stuff as that. But we have his word in our heart. Not a statue on the wall. How many graveyards are there around in our area that are filled up with idols? They got a man out there in long robes, supposed to be the Lord Jesus Christ. But it don't look a thing like him. He's in glory. And it is incomprehensible to us the glory of his person. We cannot get even a slight view of what his glory is, much less put a chalk stone out there in the middle of a graveyard and call it Jesus. "And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon tables of stone." Now his word is effectually written in our hearts. Not with an iron rod, but by God the Holy Spirit writing his word in our heart. What a treasure that is. It's not written with the table. It's not written on tables of stone, but it's written in the fleshly tables of our heart. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of recommendation from you? Ye are our epistles." "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." A Christian is the epistle of Christ. The words that come out of our mouth and our actions ought to show the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The life of Jesus in us.
Amen.
Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. The word was preached by the apostles and made effectual and written on the hearts of those who believed by the Holy Spirit. So they became the writing or the letter of the epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshless tables of our heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not as though we are sufficient to think anything of as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In ministering the word of the Lord, our sufficiency is certainly not of ourselves.
That's right.
It's just not. It's of the effectual workings of God the Holy Ghost. He takes our puny words, our efforts, and he writes his law in the hearts of his people. All right, back to Deuteronomy 4, verse 14. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. There we have it again. He emphasizes that no manner of similitude, no kind of an image did they see. You walk into churches, in most churches today, and the first thing you see is a picture plastered somewhere of somebody that's supposed to be the Lord Jesus. And somebody said, well, it looks like Wild Bill Hickok in a dress. But that's not our Lord. There's no way to represent the glory and dignity and the grandeur of his person now. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. Lest thou lift up thine eyes to heaven when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the heaven. Now think about when Aaron gathered up the earrings of all of the women and the children of Israel and used that to make them a golden calf, and then said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And fell down and worshipped a calf and made themselves beneath a calf, because you worship something that's better than you are. They corrupted themselves. They were saying, well, we're less than this calf. How foolish, how very foolish and sinful is the ways of men. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now you remember that in the first time that when they thirsted, the Lord told Moses to take your rod and smite the rock. And he did. And they were thirsty, and out of that flinty rock the Lord caused abundance of water to flow, so that all of Israel drank, and all of their cattle, and they were all well watered. And there in that wilderness, in that desert, the Lord gave them food from heaven, angels' food, and he gave them water to drink. Then on the second time, when they thirsted and they began to murmur against the Lord, the Lord told Moses, he said, go and speak to the rock. Speak to it. After the rock had been smitten and the waters of life had came forth from the rock, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the next time, all the need to be done is just to speak to the rock. Go ask forgiveness. But no, Moses went and he was angry. Now, that was to teach Israel that the rock, that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being smitten one time, and the next time spoken to. Just simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would bring life. But Moses failed to sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the people. He didn't bring out the type. But he, in his own malice of his heart, spoke to them and called the children of God, said, ye rebels, must we... He and Joshua, or Aaron, bring water out of the rock for you. Let the Lord out of the picture. That gets you so, even if your name's Moses, you're going to reap. That's according to the government of God. And there's a difference between grace and government. God governs his house as a father over his children. And when the rod is needed, he administers the rod for our good, for our growth in him. Grace freely forgives, but government won't pass by any transgression at all without invoking a just reward. Verse 22. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take ye heed to yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. How full of meaning is that to us, unless we forget the covenant of the Lord our God. The New Testament is the everlasting covenant of grace. And it is sealed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in it our life is declared. So we do well to keep it before our eyes all the time. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord your God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth together to witness against thee this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish out of the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it, and ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but ye shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord thy God leads you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient to his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful, and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, to forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto thee. Now, that last few verses there is what I had mostly in mind in reading this, where he said, the Lord thy God will scatter thee among the nations, and there will be few in number, and so on. Verse 27 through 32. Now, we have certainly seen that fulfilled. We've seen it fulfilled twice. The Babylonian captivity, they were scattered, they were sent out, and then brought back to the land. And then Titus in 70 AD destroyed Jerusalem, and the Jews went into dispersion. We're scattered over the world. But the Jews are dwelling at home now. Now, I wonder how that happened. That's not just because all of them decided, well, I think I'll go back to Israel. God's providence brought his people back into the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the everlasting covenant, to that very land. And he has established them a governing people now. In Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 37 of the dry bones, the body was to be assembled, and flesh brought upon it, and bone come to his bone, and all of that. But it was dead. It was dead. And that's the way it is today. They are a self-governing people over there, but they do not acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah whom they crucified. They are spiritually dead, just like we are. Well, in the portion of Scripture that Brother Jerry read, and what is said here, let me find this. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto him, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forsake the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto thee. Now look at 2 Corinthians 3 again. Second Corinthians 3:13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. That's the end of the law. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ takes away all the mystery out of the Old Testament. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord gave them, look at Isaiah 29:10. For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. The Lord had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, nor ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And they are regathered and reorganized in unbelief and are spiritually dead this hour. But now, go back over to Romans. Chapter 11. And let's begin reading again there where Brother Jerry read. In verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall, or be forever cut off from God? Fall completely, have no place. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Through their fall, the gospel is brought to us. God sought to accomplish something in blinding that people. First of all, he blinded them because of their sinful unbelief. But secondly, he did it in order to open the door to the Gentiles. Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now what is their fullness? It's when they're given spiritual life. Because they're dead. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, that and might save some of them. Now, so he's talking about they here and them are Israel after the flesh, or national Israel. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, well, how is that? The casting away of them was the introduction of the Gentiles into the covenant.
Yeah.
Of course, it's always been ordained that it would be that way, but that's the way he's putting it here. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, now I take that first fruits to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some take it to be the covenant, some take it to be the Holy Spirit, some take it to be Christ, but it's all the same thing. It's the promises of God given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's that covenant. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so all are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. they could not enter in, the children of Israel couldn't enter into the land of Canaan because of unbelief, and because of their unbelief, God dismissed them from his covenant. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee. Now we live today in a day of an apostate church. A church that has divorced itself from God, doesn't want anything to do with the God of the Bible. And I'm talking about professing Christianity for the most part, mainstream Christian religion, has left the gospel completely. And it is, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. In other words, the door shut to the Gentiles as we know it today. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. Now who takes care of that? How do you and I believe? By sovereign grace, just by the mere good pleasure of our God, he puts his spirit in us and causes us to believe. We're no better than they are. They're no better than us. It's by grace. By grace are you saved through faith. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, or grafted contrary to nature into good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? We were grafted in against nature. We were an olive tree of another sort. We were wicked sinners of the Gentiles, is what the scriptures call us. But they were of the natural lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be blindness, just you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The greater part of them are blinded today. It's happened to Israel until the full number of the elect among the Gentiles is brought in. Fullness of the Gentiles. Now the times of the Gentiles, as in Luke 21, 20, 20, let's see. Turn to Luke then, let's see here. Luke 21, I think it is. Luke 21, 36. Verse 24, Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captives into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, the times of the Gentiles began when Nebuchadnezzar entered into Jerusalem and took captive Jehoiakim and all the Jews. The end of the times of the Gentiles will be the destruction of Antichrist. Antichrist is still alive and well today, and will be until Revelation 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and destroys him. But let's go back to Romans 11. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Every elect child of God, written in the everlasting covenant before the foundation of the world, whether Jew or Gentile, and regardless of the proportion of the saved among the Gentiles as to the lost, or the saved among Israel as to the lost, they're all going to be brought in to the same covenant by the same blood. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Gospel got to come out of the church. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, how positive is that? When I shall take away their sins. They, them, there is all referring to Israel after the flesh, or national Israel. Now this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. They're enemies for our sake, that we might be grafted in. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Back in Deuteronomy, it said, the Lord thy God loved thy fathers, and therefore he chose them and their seed after them. He loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and chose them and their seed after them. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as in time past ye have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, God does things God's way, and he doesn't need our approval. We obtain mercy through the unbelief because of the unbelief of Israel, but the first cause is the purpose of God. Even so have these now not believed that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy, that through mere sovereign grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Through the mercy that we have, which is according to the goodness of God, we have obtained mercy, and the same mercy will be extended to them. For God hath concluded all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth both of the wisdom of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, who would sought such a thing? That Israel should be blinded, cut off for the greater part, for all these thousands of years, in order to bring in the Gentiles. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Somebody might say, well, what right did God have to do that? We'll read chapter 9 of Romans. Who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed, why hast thou made me thus? I'd like to go to Ezekiel chapter 37 and look at that just a little bit, but maybe not today. Anyhow, we're thankful for these things. And we live very interesting times. Israel's been at home now governing themselves since 1948. Mm-hmm. That's about 74 years. I wonder what's going to happen in year 80. I'm not setting any times or anything like that, but we do live in very interesting times. And you know, who put all these fossil fuels in the earth? The Lord did. For what purpose? So that a bunch of dumb humans would burn it, create all this carbon dioxide and hold in the heat and bring in all this global warming. And work as the destruction of this planet at the appointed time. Oh, well. All right. Bart.